This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and the Tin Society. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John Davis.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good evening, man.
Good evening to you, sir. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. It is nice to be back. Back in the mic, a hot mic.
hot mic.
We're live. Yeah, man, it is so good to be back on a live show here on a Monday night, Country Squire Radio. I've been looking forward to this. Gosh, it's been a busy season, right? God, I mean, we've been four or five weeks now. I don't know. And, been putting out content episodes, but something about the live show, you know, it's always really, really special to be, spending Monday night with our buddies.
Yeah.
So, things are good, man. It's been really eventful, obviously, just getting in gear. I went to a big family reunion up in, for my wife's, family up in New Jersey. And, and got to see what it was like to vacation on Jersey Beach, you know, on the shore. It was great.
It was
fantastic.
It was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
Understand what I'm about to say is coming from me. That was the worst accent I've ever heard.
Well, you were right.
And again, that's coming from
It's coming from you, yeah. and you get to hear my accent almost every day. So right, that's really saying something. It's been good. Went up there and met some cousins and stuff. That was a lot of fun. And man, just been, you know, back in the shop, kind of nesting. We've been trying to decorate a little bit. I'm kind of, you know, if you're watching the live show tonight, you'll notice that the lighting here is not great, although Bo is really thankful for it because it looks like he is kind of there's this one random kind of rogue spotlight that's right over Bo. As much as he'd like to think this is like some kind of biblical thing.
I mean, honestly, if we really should switch places, it would go with your motif.
No, I'm against it. We're trying to. You can stoke that all you want, but I gently downplay it.
My children,
right?
Follow the one true Bo. You have been following this false teacher. I know.
Follow him into the wilderness at your peril. No, so you know we're slowly got to switch the lighting up around. We're kind of getting decorated and stuff. We're really close to announcing our grand opening date for the new shop, which will be a lot of fun. That'll be in September. So anyway, we're excited. We're open. Things are rocking and rolling, but we're just kind of getting nested, getting planted, and by September here in a few weeks we'll have our grand opening and kind of get things kicked off for a fun fall. So anyway, really exciting times, man. We're just blowing and going.
It's coming together well,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Excited for it. Before we get into kind of the news and the scuttlebutt, so to speak, we gotta give a shout out to once again Pylorans and Mark VV for coming on the show.
Golly.
And man,
what would we do without either of them?
Dude,
frankly,
I'm telling you, that great listeners of Country Squire, great community members, honestly, of the community that's built up around the podcast. And great to get them on mic. And talk a little bit about the heat. But I mean, like, you know, John David, we got Texan, we got Louisiana. And I mean, we had to kind of give you a bit of a hard time about the barbecue, you know, like it's just going to happen.
I deal with ridicule on a daily basis. It's kind of part of the fun of owning a shop like this is that people just kind of get to come in and, you know, I counsel them, but then, you know, they pay for it by making fun of me. And so it's fine. I'm okay with it.
It's less about making fun of you. It's an intervention, really. It's got to happen. I mean, like, you're opening up the shop.
That's fair. I understand. Yeah, I get it. You know,
so that's a yes?
We'll talk.
Okay, that's a no. Long-time listeners of Country Squire Radio know, let's talk about it means no.
I don't know. We'll go pray about it or something. Yeah, I'll put, you know, run it up the old flagpole, and yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, great.
But big shout outs to those guys. Thank y'all so much for coming on, filling.
Yeah,
in
we've had a lot of, you know, even though we've been off the live show here for a few weeks, it's been fun. We have a lot of good content, I feel like, we've put out. And man, thanks for pitching in for the community and everything. Y'all been really supportive and also really gracious. You know, as we've kind of gone through the last several weeks here, folks have stopped by the shop, and I've, you know, either been out of town or just unavailable because of all the things going on. And that's tough, you know, when people come from literally hundreds of miles away, and I can't be here. You know, it's hard. So, but anyway, you know, we're still kind of getting our feet on the ground and stuff. But man, what have you been up to, Bo? You've been I think doing some traveling too, maybe. Or,
yeah, man. Working on some various projects, some that I'll be able to share about in a couple weeks here. But
good,
man. This week has been a big week for us. The kiddos start kindergarten.
Oh yeah,
and pre-K simultaneously. Right. And it's been man, it has been just absolute torture. You know, there is kind of this whole yeah, in my mind, ever since becoming a father, I've kind of told myself, like reminding myself, like, you know, they're going to grow up and, you know, they'll hit those teenage years and they'll hate me and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But like over the last several years, like, like, you know, I prepared myself for them going to school, and I get it. It's just pre-K and kindergarten, but still, like, it's
no, you're kind of putting it, you're like, okay, I've prepared this human being, you know, it made in God's image and unfortunately sometimes my own. and now I'm thrusting them out into the world. And how have I done? Okay, well, now it's time for me to get feedback on how I've done.
Yeah.
So how'd you do?
That's a really good. So, so far, so good.
Only gone to juvie hall one time,
no,
two times?
No, man. Doing great. great teachers, great school that they're in. And man, we're really excited about
it. Do y'all do the whole first day of school? Like, and maybe this is just a Southern thing, you know, but the kids dress up. And then they sit on the front porch and they hold up a sign like first day of school kind of thing. You see this stuff on Facebook?
Yeah, I have seen that stuff on Facebook. First of all, I don't really do Facebook, so there's really no need.
God
for
bless
me to
you,
because
I honestly, I you know,
I just can't.
Well, that's another conversation. Yeah, but anyway,
I got enough stress in my real life to go on.
So,
Facebook.
So if I send my kids to homeschool someday and all their little friends are like dressing up for. You know, dressing up, you know, first day of school for second grade or whatever. My kids, did they just put on their pajamas? Is that in like first day of school and then it's showing them like walking into like the kitchen to eat, like to eat biscuits at like 10 o'clock in the morning or something?
Yeah, like a 1563rd day at school, you know.
Right, right.
They've been at the house the entire time. Yeah, I don't know.
I'll have to think about that.
Homeschool parents, let us know what you think.
Yeah, that's good.
That's wild about it. Well, no, but
we promise at some point we're going to talk about pipes and pipe tobacco and get back to our roots. But right now it's just nice to catch up.
It is good to catch up. In fact, actually, there's a great way to catch up while talking about pipes, tobaccos, and the roots that have made the show what it is, in a couple of various locations. In fact, there's some big events that are going on around town. When I say around town, I mean the country.
Around the country, right? because Country Squire Radio Network is the country.
It's the Country Squire Radio. Huh?
That's terrible. Let's keep moving on. Yeah.
NASPC, man. What's going on with the NASPC?
Yeah, man. They've got their swap sell show, aka the Columbus Pipe Show, which everyone knows, of course. It's August 17th and 18th in Columbus, Ohio. It's one of the big ones, right? So you've got kind of your royalty of pipe shows, right? We think of all the big ones. And of course, the Columbus one is right there in the mix. Big, you know, great show. You'll have a smattering of carvers, tobacco blenders, you know, dealers that are, you know, selling estate pipes and, you know, all kinds of things like that. You'll have some of your, you know, big retailers there. So be sure to check that out if you're in the Columbus area. That's Columbus, Ohio, August 17th and 18th.
Also, man, we've got coming up on September the 8th. This is the 2018 Southeast Slow Smoke. Now, this is happening in Greenville, South Carolina,
at
the Upstate Pipe Society, specifically at Boda Pipe and Cigar at 2:00. Again, that is going to be on September 8th at Boda Pipe and Cigar. Upstate Pipe Society of Greenville is hosting it. You can find out more information by checking out their website. This year's pipe is a winner, as we will have selected the Rossi Rubino.
That's right. Yeah, the 8320 Smooth is the official pipe for the contest. Yeah. So this is awesome. Of course, it's the 320 Savinelli. Rossi, of course, being made by Savinelli. It's a great company, kind of their under $100 line that we know and love. We sell tons of Rossis here at the Squire. And but the pipe that they're going to use for this year's slow smoke competition, they've got the 8320 Rossi. So think of the 320 that we know and love, but it's a gigantic version, as if the official version weren't gigantic enough, right? And so it's, you know, this is what you might use to I don't know, club your you know, disobedient you know, child or something. But anyway, beautiful pipe, and so they'll be using that for the slow smoke there. And they're also using Peter Stokeby 312 Toasted Burley. Great tobacco, really good, clean, Clean burning tobacco. You know, it's got a little bite to it, but the kind of pleasant bite that, I don't know, brings you back. It's great tobacco, good to blend with as well. Lots of strength, but not harsh. It's a great tobacco. So good people up at the Upstate Pipe Society. I really hope I can get up that way soon. I've heard Greenville is a beautiful area. So
that's great, man.
Should be fun.
I like it. The Peter Stokeby 312, the bite that brings you back. That's good stuff. Also, man, in the time that we have been away, the Pipe Club, the Country Squire Radio International
Pipe Club
has been growing.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining at the Squire level, give it up for Danielle Rhodes.
I believe it's Daniel, but if your name is Danielle, that's fantastic.
2018, man. Danielle Rhodes.
That's right. Daniel, thanks so much for joining, man, at the Squire level. That's wonderful.
We also have at the Pilgrim level, we got Scott Bieber.
That would be Scott Biedler.
Biedler.
You know what's awesome? Scott, this is really, we've got a couple really, this is a great trifecta of people that have signed up. So Scott is actually the president of the International Lunting Society.
Oh, yeah.
Scott is a longtime listener of the show, good friend of the shop and of the pipe community, greater pipe community. And Scott, big force, just been really encouraging to, you know, spread the love of pipes everywhere and all that stuff, just like so many of us have. And president of the International Lunting Society, man, he's sent us some patches before, and man, just a good guy, and we're glad to have him on board. Scott, we're really grateful. Thanks, man.
We still have yet to do our lunting episode. That needs to happen.
All this is coming.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
All right. So good deal, Scott Bieber.
He's never going to forgive you for that.
I'm just wondering if Justin.
I think he's already unsubscribed. Actually,
no. Right. Just picture Justin Bieber's out there. He's lunting and smoking a
pipe. Yeah, with all his tats and his. Didn't he just get married?
No,
or something?
Scott is his dad. That's what this is. That's
okay.
Scott
okay.
is in the money. He's just got to deal.
I'm so confused.
All right. So, and then we also big shouts out as well to new patron. We got Dirk Heinemann. If I pronounce that correct.
Dirk, so this is also cool. This is pipe smoking royalty that we've got here. Dirk. Dirk is a very well known German pipe maker.
Wait, is he the one that does like the Lord of the Rings type stuff? Or is that guy Russian?
I don't think so. Yeah. Okay. Dirk just, you know, makes gorgeous pipes. I mean, his style is kind of all over the map, but you'll see a lot of Danish inspired stuff.
Snap.
Gosh, he's just a tender soul. Been listening to the show for several years now, and is constantly interacting with me and other groups, you know, online through all the different pipe communities. But if you haven't met Dirk, if you get to go to like Chicago or something where he happens to be in the country, please make a chance to make a stop to go see him. Just a really great guy, and I think you'll be blessed getting to know Dirk.
So, guten Tag, yeah. Dirk. guten Tag, Dirk. No hablo español. No, that's not.
Oh, it's so terrible.
Goulash? That's a thing?
I think
yo soy es.
I think you've ruined it on all fronts. The only thing you could make it worse is if you sing O Tannenbaum. I think that'd be about it. Yeah,
99 red. No, that's Russian. All right. So welcome and thank you so much.
Your Central and Eastern Europe game is not very
on point. Now where that point is, it's not on point, but it is on point.
Fair. Okay. All right.
But big thanks to those of you who have joined up with the club. Those of you who are supporting us over at Patreon.
It's so ridiculous.
This show happens and in the hiatus was able to happen and does continue to happen because of your support. So thank you so much. If you'd like to join that group, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio. To do so. All right, man. There's all that. We've got a great show tonight.
Oh, man. First show in the shop, and it's a
Squire Select, baby. Look, we had to do a Squire Select, right? I mean,
it felt right.
It's whenever
kind of getting back into the gear.
I kind of feel like that's
celebratory.
Always the case, right? Yeah. Like a lot of early, like when the year's beginning or like after the holidays, it just always seems to naturally be the time for a Squire Select.
Yeah, no, that's right.
And you know, I feel like, you know, we've got, you know, with everything, the new shop and everything, you got to christen it with a little bit of, you know, some beverages. And for those that are not familiar, a Squire Select is where we pair up some various, typically beverages with some various tobaccos. So whatever your brown liquor is of choice, or, you know, we've done gin, we've also done tea, but typically—
We've done red wine before.
But we typically do kind of stick around in the kind of the whiskey genre. if you will. And yeah, pairing up some great drinks with some great tobaccos. And tonight is no exception.
Of course, is no different.
Shall we kick it off with the rye?
Yeah, I think we should. Yeah, man, tonight.
Fetcher and the bullet rye.
Yeah, so we are doing bullet rye tonight. Let's see. Let me grab the bottle quickly.
Okay.
So, of course, we do like to find interesting whiskeys. We've done Bullet Bourbon before. Bullet's a really popular company. I'm pretty sure we've done Bullet Bourbon before, but Bullet, of course, a popular company. This is an affordable bourbon that, you know, folks, you see at bars real commonly. You know, you can get this. It's very accessible at package stores all over the country. Bullet, founded in 1987. This is a company that a lot of these boutique whiskey companies nowadays, they're always kind of pointing back. They're looking for some story to make themselves kind of interesting, right? Even though if their whiskey is might be interesting, they want it to be this kind of romantic, you know, story. Found granddad's, you know, whiskey, you know, recipe in the cellar, and you know it was buried for 50 years, and we found it, and then restarted this company. Well, you know, some of this is kind of a stretch, right?
But well, and like, you know, a lot of these companies too, you know, they're all trying to outdo each other.
No, they are. It's you know, sometimes you just want to tell them like, hey, calm down. You don't have to try so hard. We like you just how you are.
I think I've mentioned this on the show.
Actually,
before.
I feel like that's the kind of the motto of the country squire.
Don't you know, try so hard.
You know, you come in. No, yeah. You come in and it's like, you know, people are like, oh, I know everything about pipe tobacco. And you know, it's like, you know, you really don't have to try so hard.
Yeah.
That's great. Just come as you are, man.
People just don't, you know, it's
just,
fine.
No, you're good. Yeah. Just come as you are. Let your guard down, man. Yeah.
No, but it is interesting because I do think of like Sam Adams, the brewing company. And
no, right.
They kind of almost defined a marketing campaign based around kind of this is how we create beer. Like, here's the hops and this is the two twins that work on it and everything. And it's kind of trying to communicate this, you know, unique, amazing, special thing they do. But they just make a beer the same way everybody makes it.
That's right. You know,
it's all about how you position
the
story.
Well, it is. There is a story element to it, which we all, you know, understand and relate to and buy into. And you and I, we're both romantics. I mean, we get it, the, you know, meta narrative and all this stuff.
Absolutely.
But anyway, it is funny. Every time you read about these different distilleries, you know, every single one, you go to any of their websites and it's always, and I'm talking specifically about the ones that have been created in the past 30 years, and Bullet included. You know, but you go to their website, and it's always, oh, well, we found great, great grandpappy's recipe. It's in the cellar, but we uncovered it. And, you know, there was a next to skeletons and, you know, golden doubloons and all this stuff. And you know, we resurrected this this recipe, and it's earth shattering and all this kind of thing. Well, anyway, you know, so Bullet was kind of on the front end of this. OK,
oh, really?
They
okay.
They started in 1987. You'll notice the spelling of Bullet. A lot of folks just say Bullet. You know, quickly, because it, you know, you look at it quickly and it kind of goes like that, but it's spelled B-U-L-L-E-I-T. And there, a few people think there's a misconception that you might be, you're supposed to pronounce it as like boulet or something, but that's, but that's actually boulet crap. The official pronunciation of this is Bullet Bourbon. And of course, so we're not doing the bourbon tonight. We're doing the rye.
That's right.
Founded in 1987. Of course, again, you've kind of got that great, great grandfather recipe, old family recipe that they found from Augustus Bullet from the middle of the 19th century. Proud of his whiskey. He was one of these people that, according to the company, trying to, you know, find all the right ingredients and was, you know, very proud of tweaking it to get just the right thing. And interestingly enough, according to them, vanished en route with his whiskey from Kentucky on his way to New Orleans. And so,
How about that?
Yeah. I mean, you never know. Mississippi is on the way between Kentucky and New Orleans. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe he's in your backyard, Bo. You never know.
Augustus conceived it in Mississippi.
You never know.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Maybe that's what's wrong with the Jackson water.
Could be.
Anyway, okay. So both their bourbon and their rye whiskeys are both, they're both high in rye content. So, you know, when we think of rye whiskey, again, I'm not a whiskey connoisseur. I don't, you know, pretend to be. I hope I don't, you know, communicate that. But when you do think of rye whiskeys, at least me from a novice standpoint, you think of something with a little more bite, right? It's got just a little more of that kind of,
oh yeah.
It's not a roughness. It's a pleasant bite. There's a pleasant roughness there.
You
that
either
I think
like
is
it
really,
or you don't. You know what I mean? Like if you
that's right.
If you like a little bite in your whiskey, then yeah, it's very pleasant.
I think it, You know, I used to say I don't like bullet bourbon, but I think it's because I went into it not really knowing what it is. But now when I classify bullet bourbon as a rye strong bourbon,
yeah,
I can kind of get on board with it. Well, now, you know, and when you drink bullet rye, not the bourbon, but the actual rye, which we're talking about tonight, you know, you go into it knowing, okay, this is not just a rye. This is like a rye, you know, we're talking 95% rye here. As opposed to 5% malted barley. So, I mean, this is a very high rye content whiskey, which is really great. So, the rye iteration was developed in 2011. It's won several awards, double gold medal at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition. It's 90 proof. Yeah, so it's just got that strong rye kind of bite, but it's not an unpleasant bite. Lets you know from the very beginning that you're drinking whiskey. So let me pour you up a dram.
I was about to say I'm ready to know from the beginning that I'm drinking whiskey.
Yeah.
Now as we kind of prepare our glasses here, the over under is being taken right now on me spilling and christening the new shop.
For the love of God.
Let's talk about how clean it was before the show. Like, it's so clean.
No, it was funny. Yeah, you know, we were talking before the show just how, it's nice to be in this, like, you know, it's rustic in its own way. We brought all this dirty old furniture over here, but the shop itself is clean. And so, let's fix that.
Cheers.
Cheers. Bullet makes a great rye. It makes a great rye.
Man.
Yeah. I think the last time I saw that face on you was maybe in church. Yeah.
When I was taking communion.
Right. Yeah. I fed you communion that day. Yeah, that's right. It's interesting. Of course, there's a warmth there. There's an immediate spice and heat that come off the whiskey, which I think is, really pleasant if you're, okay with something that's got some of that bite.
Right.
The finish, you'll get just a little fruit. You know, a lot of folks say they're looking for, I kind of feel like they're grasping sometimes. They're looking for cherry or apples. Maybe there's some of that. But, overall, I just think there's a nice warm bite up front, a heat to it that just kind of goes into a mellow fruit, maybe some cherry or apricot or something. But a good rye whiskey.
Dude, I like that bite, too, because like you say, it warms you up. If you're going to be sipping on something, you don't want to, like, hit it too fast or anything like that.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong. And so, you mentioned, of course, with Bullet Bourbon. And I believe when we did that one as a Squire Select, it was in one of the missing first 100 episodes. but I remember at the time, kind of being down on Bullet because I was just not a fan of their bourbon.
It's like I said earlier, I went into Bullet thinking of them in other terms. And once I kind of got used to thinking of them in strong rye terms, it kind of makes more sense. I'm still not a big fan of their bourbon, but if I want a rye, their rye, or even their bourbon, which has a lot of rye in it, it's a good thing to go to.
You know how a lot of times, and this is true of smell especially, but taste also can kind of take you back and kind of remind you of something. So
yeah, sure.
With rye.
Does this whiskey remind you of your childhood?
No, not.
You know, I was screaming. I was always screaming, and my grandmother just gave me this big bottle of apple colored, of honey colored liquid. And then I didn't care about anything anymore.
Exactly.
And it was great. I blacked out for 5 hours.
Yeah. Rye made the pain go away. No, it was actually earlier this year. We had a live podcast we were doing for another show in Atlanta, and it was late. It had been the best live show of our tour, and it was just a really, really nice time. And we were all trying to figure out, well, should we go out to eat? Should we go to a restaurant? And then finally, like, well, let's just go back to the hotel and pick up some beers and just enjoy kind of the stress.
Yeah, sure.
Part being over.
Sure.
And so me and another friend, we were getting a bunch of beers, and I was like, some people don't like beer. We need some whiskey. And so I looked, and I could not for the life of me find any brand that was like my go-to brand. You know what I mean? And I mean, part of that is I'm not a snob, but I mean, like, I like hard to find stuff. I like stuff that is harder to find. And so finally I saw the Bullet up there and I thought, you know what? I'll settle because I just don't like Bullet. But instead of the bourbon, I grabbed the rye technically by accident.
And it was a good choice.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was like, and so what, like, whenever I drink it now, it just like brings me back to that night in Atlanta, just good friends
good.
Hanging out,
yeah.
Like, oh, so good.
That's great, man. Well, it's interesting. You talk about accidents and kind of stumbling upon it and it being a pleasant surprise. So the tobacco that we are pairing tonight with Bullet Rye, This is great. And I love where this kind of wound up at. We are pairing it tonight with Kingsfoil from the Country Squire. This is one of our Tolkien-related blends. It's our newest Tolkien blend. And Kingsfoil is great. This in itself was an accident. And I say an accident, that might be a little strong.
Did this foil the king?
But it did. Kingsfoil, this is a Virginia Darkfire Kentucky. And I love this tobacco. What's your initial, when you stick your nose in the jar, get a deep whiff there, and then give us just a gut feedback.
Oh, man, raisins.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. You've even made it deeper on the list.
Yeah. I feel like I'm walking into like this just cellar of like just rich Virginia.
So Kingsfoil, again, you do have this Virginia. It's a grassy, again, we always talk about that signature kind of hay-like flavor. These are mostly light Virginias. You've got, you know, lots of bright Virginia, bright and some lemon leaf in there. It just has a real high sugar content. From a, you know, the natural leaf itself. And we pair it with, these kind of Virginia medley, a Darkfire Kentucky Burley, which is just really interesting. It's a small percentage, but it's very apparent when you smoke it. And so I love this pairing. Kingsfoil was an accident because we were trying to redevelop one of our favorite tobaccos and one of our best sellers, actually, Green Dragon.
Right, yes.
And Green Dragon, of course, was discontinued earlier this year. We're still working on it. We've come up with other iterations that are closer. But Kingsfoil was kind of a on its way towards Green Dragon, and we liked it so much that we made it its own blend.
Oh, like a stop on the way.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Like, and so it's been a big hit. You know, it does have the dark-fired Kentucky element there, and so some people haven't embraced it, because they are not dark-fired, fans or not Burley fans, but folks that do like Burleys and that dark-fired kind of smoky flavor with that little bit of bite, they've really, really embraced it, and that's been a lot of fun. So it's been a good compliment, and we pair it tonight, of course, with the Bullet Rye, which right out of the gate has a really noticeable bite. Again, mm-hmm. you're immediately drinking whiskey. You're drinking something that's got some strength to it. The front end has that heat. But it kind of mellows quickly into something that's more fruit oriented, more smooth, just something that has a nice kind of soothing palate. And so Kingsfoil, I think, just really complements that well by frankly being very identical to the rye that we're drinking. Yeah,
it's like Andy from Parks and Recreation. The Starburst brings out a similar flavor as the Skittles. Kingsfoil, where did the name come from?
Yeah,
so that didn't jump out at me.
Yeah, so Kingsfoil, this is and I forget the exact reference, but it is the leaf that they take as an antidote to something. And of course, I'm now forgetting it. Gosh, man, we went through this whole deal when we
Hobbit
named
or
this,
Lord of the Rings.
The Lord of the Rings.
Okay,
yeah, and this was actually Caleb's. Caleb, the intern. Caleb, formerly known as the intern, yeah. Developed this, and I was really pleased with it, and so we debuted it as a house blend.
That's awesome,
so, yeah,
man.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Wait, so all right, so this is just to kind of like pull back a little bit more. So Caleb, yeah, hadn't been the intern in a while. Did he do this after his tenure at this intern?
No, this was one of his last creations before he left the Squire.
Oh yeah. Man,
so great blend. We've been really happy with it, and of course it's available here we are making pairings, but yes, I am shamelessly going to say, like, you can order this on our website.
Well,
if
hey,
you
want no, to, so. cheers to Caleb for his
yeah,
last
Caleb,
blend at
Caleb,
the,
Caleb did an excellent job and is a good friend. So, yep. I think a good pairing.
Excellent. Sorry. I had a little bit more of a swig than I intended to. I was just trying to like, ooh,
I think that was apparent. Yeah.
Oh, it was good.
there's some water if you need to cleanse your palate, Bo.
Always good. Always good. All right, man. So that's the Kingsfoil mixed with the Bullet Rye. What we got next?
All right. So next, and this is kind of out in left field. We had a pipe club meeting recently where we tried some different whiskeys. Of course, our dear friend and fearless leader of the Magnolia Pipe Club, Briar, was very generous to open the pipe club's purse strings and go buy some different spirits, and this was one of them.
That dude is stingy, too. How'd you make that happen?
I don't know. I think maybe he had a drink before he decided.
That's how you do it.
I think that was it. So this is Irish whiskey. This is called Connemara or Conmara. C-O-N-N-E-M-A-R-A, and it's a peated single malt Irish whiskey.
Ooh.
Beautiful, real simple bottle. This is a bottle, it actually, I don't know, if it, for Scotch drinkers that are familiar with Bunahabin, it kind of has the bottle that favors that. Real, real simple green bottle, but...
What is this about, Runyu? What's the tab on this particular one?
Okay, so this one will cost you about, in Mississippi anyway, about $40,
okay.
Which I think is pretty consistent. You can find it at some of the online retailers for, you know, anywhere from $35 to $40.
No, that's a very good, you know, if you're getting a good scotch for that price, that's excellent.
Well, I did, you know, I was kind of looking at it a little more right before the show, and I found a listing for it for like $140, and I was like, was it signed by the Queen, or did she, you know, I mean, I don't know, but overall, this is generally seen around $40.
Signed by William Wallace.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah. Although Irish people wouldn't appreciate that because he was a Scot, but
no, Irish fought with them because it's my island. If you remember from the movie,
are you talking about the English?
No, the Irish. The Irish fought with William Wallace in movie version. I mean, I'm not going history here. They team up with them. They run across the field and they're like, "Hey, hey!" And then they hug each other and then they fought the English.
Okay. No, you're probably right.
Y'all back me up on this.
No, that's good. Like, I'm not the one that watches movies, right? So that's fair. So anyway, we've got the Connemara Irish whiskey. It's a peated Irish whiskey, which is interesting. Irish whiskeys, you know, they're going to tend to have that kind of light color, a natural sweetness to them. You know, we have the barley that is, you know, malted. It's very typical of Irish whiskeys. But then this has the introduction of a peat smoke to it as well, which, you know, I think is not common. I think this is the only peated Irish whiskey that is made. So,
I'm super excited because I'm a big fan of the peat.
Yeah. So, you know, it's semi-sweet, minimal bite. This is an 80 proof whiskey. It's light and honey color. You know, it's a clean peat, not a heavy smoke, but... anyway, I'll be interested to see what you think about this.
I'm excited.
You're excited. Let's see what.
This isn't like a trap, right? This isn't.
It's not a trap.
The worst whiskey on the face of the planet.
This is not a trap.
Okay, just
he's giving it the smell.
Yeah, immediately it kind of smells sweet.
Yep.
It smells really sweet. Like oh shoot, what's the is it Talisker? Not Taliskers.
No, Talisker is definitely not sweet.
No.
I love that stuff. I hadn't had that stuff in forever.
Talisker's
wow.
It's good.
It's
man.
So good.
Yes,
oh,
sir.
Gone.
No, the honey, the Irish dew or something like that. You know,
oh, Tullamore.
Tullamore.
Yeah.
Like immediately, that's what I think of when I'm just smelling it.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so it's good, but not great.
So it's light. How do I describe it? It's almost like it's nothing but the peat. You know what I mean? Like it's almost like
it's wispy.
Yeah.
It kind of. Ethereal. I don't know. I wanted to
taste a bit watered down.
I wanted to reserve my comments until after you tried it, and then I didn't let you. I didn't even give you time to comment on it. I just burst out. I was like, it's.
Did you read my face? I was like,
well,
wait, where's the actual scotch?
I kind of anticipated it. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, and again, we're not talking about a scotch. We're talking about a peated Irish whiskey.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
It you know. You get the soft kind of naturally sweet tones, but then there is that little essence of smoke. But it's just kind of floating around. I don't know. It's not really super central to it. I'd be interested to know from friends of the show that are Irish whiskey aficionados if you've had this whiskey, what you think about it, or if you're hearing about this whiskey for the first time on Country Squire Radio, and then you go out and try it, like, give us some feedback. I would, you know, as someone that, again, is not, I don't purport to be, you know, some kind of whiskey aficionado or expert, you know, even though I do enjoy drinking it, like, what do you think about this? Because I feel like there's, you know, I should be getting something out of this that I'm not. I don't know. It's just kind of fascinating to me. So it's a light-colored whiskey. It's, again, clean. Clean peat flavor. This is not a smoke, like a harsh char smoke flavor. This is the only smoke you'll get out of this is a very light peat in the background. I don't even know how to you know, describe it. It's a you know, you'll have that kind of medicinal way in the back flavor, but there's you know,
I hate that term
again. You know,
I know what you're talking about.
Again, it's mostly just kind of sweet. So some people, I'd be interested to know if anyone thinks it's
just like the best, the greatest thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's so good. It smells sweeter than it actually tastes, and it really is. It almost, you know, I like how you said it, the peat's almost like floating around, because there is almost like this smoky sensation. It's almost like it's floating on water. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it tastes a little watered down, but
it's a, yeah. And again, for some people that like Irish whiskeys, this might be their thing, you know, and, you know, I'm not a big connoisseur again, but you know, this is something that, I'd love to know the feedback of, anyone that's tried it.
So, and I love the peat. Like, it's just, it's interesting though, cause it's making me, it's almost like if you take a flavor profile and just like focus specifically on that, not ramp it up times a million, just spoke it, like focus specifically on that.
Yeah, sure.
And then it kind of makes me wonder, like, do I like peat? Or maybe I only like peat when it's like involved with other flavors. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
All right. So what we got?
Good stuff. Yeah. All right. So I, you know, when I first tried this whiskey, I was like, okay, we could go in a couple different directions, right? We could try to mimic, the flavor of this whiskey to help you appreciate what it is more, or we could kind of complement it, and you know, try to find some things that maybe, you know, it's lacking in that we would like to develop more in this whiskey. And I tried to go more in that direction.
Interesting.
Tonight we have two friends, pipe tobacco. This is their English chocolate, and I'm very happy with this pairing. English chocolate, of course, from two friends. This is an interesting tobacco. It's a crossover blend. You have this, you know, the Latakia, the smoky richness of that, but it's in some ways dominated by a velvety, soft chocolate flavor that does lend to a nice sweetness and frankly a good room note as well.
Yeah.
And so the English chocolate, it's a good tobacco. Two friends. This is a company which is blended by Cornell and Deal. Cornell and Deal, of course, one of our favorite tobacco, you know, brands. You know, Jeremy Reeves, good friend of the show, and just an excellent blender. Someone, you know, someday when I grow up, I hopefully I'll be Jeremy Reeves. English chocolate, I'll read the back of the tin. It says, "We begin with the finest Virginias and enough Latakia to provide the taste that so many crave, then press it to marry the flavors. We then tumble it out to a broken flake for easy packing and add just a touch of chocolate to awaken the senses. The end result is something that satisfies all the day for a walk through the dales, yet is welcome in the drawing room in the evenings, thanks to the warm chocolate aroma." So basically, you've got something that's, you know, throw a bone to your palate, the part of your palate that wants some richness and some depth, some complexity. But frankly, it's also got a nice sweetness and a nice room note. And I think maybe some sense, like for the Connemara, this is kind of what they were maybe going for. And so I don't know. Some people might get this out of that, but I think this particular tobacco, when I smoked it with the whiskey, I think it really completes it for me.
No, yeah. I can definitely see it. It's interesting because you might...
I really enjoyed it.
You might actually think, like, that seems like an odd pairing. I'm going to tell you, whiskey and chocolate is delicious. It makes me think of Christmas because I am always eating chocolate during Christmas and I'm always drinking whiskey as well.
Yeah.
But so, like, there's that kind of combination there, but man, yeah. Smoke this right now. I feel like smoking this
you could kind of eat that.
I feel like it would help the beverage too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I paired it with that. I was like, okay, do you go with something that's that tries to mimic the beverage, or do you go with something that complements it and makes the experience better?
Absolutely.
And you know, generally we go in that direction, but you know, this time I really felt strongly about, you know, picking something that would make the experience of this particular whiskey get better. And man, I think I nailed it with the English chocolate. So. Yeah.
Man.
I was happy about that.
Well done.
So
right,
good
there.
Good tobacco by the way on its own. Please, any of the two friends stuff, definitely worth trying. Of course, anything that comes out of the factory of Cornell and Deal is top notch. So
delicious.
Yep.
Man.
Exquisite.
Well, definitely exquisite. Man, we've had some wonderful beverages, some wonderful tobaccos to go around it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing though, if you're trying out these various beverages, you get a nice glass here, nice high-end, high-quality crystal glass that we've got right in our hand. Nice thing about those is you listen to the plastic clink. Nice thing about those, you can just kind of rinse those out with water and everything. But with the tobaccos, especially with such drastic flavors that you're kind of be dealing with, you want to make sure you get a good smoke every single time that you're, you know, to really get the full effect of the tobacco and the whiskey pairing.
And something that's clean as well. You know, you're looking for something to get the real purity of that flavor and something that, you know, frankly, we would prefer to have kind of affordable, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And what better company describes that than our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum?
No, of course. We love pipes from Missouri Meerschaum, of course, for trying new tobaccos. And particularly if you're wanting something that gives you the purity of the flavor of the smoke at an affordable price. And so Missouri Meerschaum pipes are a great value. Tonight, we feature the Little Devil Cuddy. It's a corn cob that is a small devil ant's shape. It's got that slight tilt forward and a flat bottom. It also comes in an acorn variety. We tend to like the Cuddy a little better. We sell a lot of the acorns here at the shop, but I like the Cuddy because it has that flat bottom and sits really easily. And so it's just a fun little pocket pipe. From Missouri Meerschaum, they say the Little Devil Cuddy corncob pipe, like its companion, the acorn, is a nose warmer style with a lot of attitude. The forward cant of the bowl imparts a bold profile that is highlighted by the dark stain applied. The bowl has a flat hardwood bottom with the Missouri Meerschaum label design that was first used over 100 years ago. They go on to say, while it fits easily into your pocket, don't let this pipe size fool you. It will hold plenty of your favorite tobacco for a nice, relaxing smoke. And so it is. It's a good pocket-sized pipe, but it also has a generous bowl, which we love about so many Missouri Meerschaum pipes.
Yeah. So if you've got the Little Devil, be sure to smoke it this week. Post a picture of yourself doing so. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know that you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week coming into us from Brian Reynolds.
Yeah, that's a good question, too. I love this.
All right, man. So Brian writes in and says, hey, guys, I've been smoking a pipe for a few years now and have only bought bulk tobacco from my tobacconist in Nashville. A few months ago, I bought my first tin of tobacco. It was a tin of Orlick Club mixture. Once I figured out how to open it, I absolutely loved what I was getting out of it. My wife loved the room note, and I loved the taste, and I really loved how portable it is inside the tin. However, the contents inside have become extremely dry, and my most recent smoke was bitter and downright not enjoyable. For myself and others who are just getting into buying tins, what are the proper ways to open, use, store, and travel with tins? Did I do something wrong along the way? Or is this typical of tins if you don't smoke them fast enough after opening them? He says a side note, but I almost want to hold off on the side note to answer that question first.
Yeah, I think this is fair. Go ahead.
You want me to go ahead and say that?
Yeah.
All right. So he says, side note, I traveled with it in the trunk of my car as I am out of town a lot and work for work and love to have it with me. Could this have been a factor? And again, that's from listener Brian.
Yeah. So Brian, man, thanks so much for tuning in. I remember having a very similar experience when I tried my first tin tobacco. You are so excited. You've tried different bulk or house blends from different shops. You go, different places and you'll find one Q or, whatever they have. And then you try your first tin tobacco and you're like, oh, I'm so excited about this. And you open it up and it's good, but then as it sits there a little bit longer, it gets a little less good, and then finally enters the pine straw hamster cage category that we are very familiar with. And so, yeah, with tin tobaccos, they are sensitive to moisture, particularly the vacuum style tins like Orlick Golden Sliced. And so, once you pop the can on those particular tins, the clock's ticking, right? I mean, you really need to either smoke that in the next few weeks or put it in some kind of environment where it's going to stay fresh for a longer period of time. Of course, you've heard me say over and over on the show with those vacuum style tins, the coin style tins that I call them, that's the type of can really, if you're a very serious ager of pipe tobacco, you'll probably want to pop that and put it in a mason jar as soon as you buy it, kind of thing, even if you don't plan on smoking it for a while. And that's for a variety of reasons. But, those tins are just not particularly trustworthy. And once you open it, the clock really is ticking on those cans. The other style cans, the biscuit can, Cornell and Deal style, McClellan style, Two Friends style can that we see, those tend, in my mind, to be a little better at preserving moisture and freshness. But anyway, that's something to think about. So anyway, the portability of the tin is great, right? We love that. You can abuse it. You can throw it in your backpack. You can leave it in the trunk of your car. that's something that when you buy a bag of bulk pipe tobacco, is not as not quite as convenient, perhaps. But yes, again, once you pop that open, the clock is ticking, and so it is going to get dry pretty quickly. As far as the bitter flavor goes, you know, I don't really know. That may be some of the particular tobacco you're smoking, the Orlick Club. If you're a longtime listener of this show, you know that we are big fans of Orlick Golden Sliced. Like, it's top five for me.
Yeah,
there's a reason. You know, when you want like a soothing, comfortable sweater, something that's just going to make you feel like everything's going to be okay in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, that is Orlick Golden Sliced, right? Like, I'm going back to home base, right? I go back to home base.
It's kind of my blue moon. Like when I'm
at a bar, great analogy.
Yeah. Like a lot of times I'm like, all right, what are the local stuff and everything? And like if there's nothing else that necessarily jumps out at me, or like I don't want to get too adventurous, like I always know I can go back to a Blue Moon,
yeah,
and really enjoy it.
Yeah,
same thing with Orlick Golden Sliced.
So Orlick Golden Sliced, Orlick has several tobaccos that are fantastic. I'm not convinced that their club mixture is one of them, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So that, I love the stuff that, that the folks, you know, affiliated with Orlick, come out with, but, you know, the club mixture, not really sure how that's going to age. Don't know, you know, what it's going to taste like, once it's been sitting for a little while. So the bitterness may be a piece of that. You know, again, any tin that you buy that you leave open, you know, there for a while, particularly if it's in the trunk of your car, lots of heat, either too much moisture, not enough moisture, all that kind of stuff, that's going to affect it as well. So once you crack open a tin, just know the clock's ticking. If you want it to stay fresh for a long period of time, keep it at room temperature, inside a very sealed environment. And again, preferably we always recommend mason jars or some type of tight seal jar that has a hinge lock or a rubber gasket or something that's going to keep it real fresh. So anyway, I think as you explore tins, you will find some of the best tobaccos in the world. Again, as a small batch artisan blender, you know, we love hand blended tobaccos. We love the stuff that you'll find at a tobacconist that actually blends their tobacco and doesn't just rename one cue. But
shots fired.
Having to say, having said that, you know, we, you know, some of the best tobaccos in the world you will find in a can, and they are great. That, you know, these big companies, they have access to tobaccos that you know, a lot of small blenders just don't have access to,
yep.
And so. You know, you keep experimenting, try them, love them. You'll find the ones you like. But once you open them, if you really want to be serious about maintaining the quality, you know, just take care of it on the back end. And you know, I think you'll be rewarded.
Thanks, Brian, so much for sending that question.
Yeah, great question. Yeah.
And if you've got a pipe question of the week, feel free to send it in. It's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the Squire.
Quick fire questions!
Ow!
All right, man. Quick fire questions brought to us by our good friends at the Tin Society. More on the Tin Society in just a moment. All right, there is a theme this evening.
Okay.
The theme is bar, or like the bar culture.
Well, I guess that's appropriate.
Yeah. Not like the bar exam or anything.
I'll have another sip of my peated Irish whiskey.
Cheers. I'll have another sip of my water, which is kind of the same as the peated Irish. All right, ready for this?
Yep.
Darts or pool?
Oh, good question. Yeah. Pool, definitely pool, but that's I like that. I like darts too.
I mean, I like darts as well.
Yeah.
Definitely pool. I like playing darts, and we've got a dartboard in the studio. It's always good for like creative, like problem solving. Just play darts until you can figure it out.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't like the combination of alcohol and darts. That seems like dumb to me.
Yeah, I was about to say, man, how fun would it be to smoke your pipe and play darts? You know, this question came up and it just seconds ago, and I was like, man, maybe we should put a dartboard at the Squire. And then I thought to myself,
liability?
No way. Like I'm going to go check my liability insurance like tonight when we get off the air. Like just for other reasons, but that's a terrible idea.
So there is a bar.
How do bars get away with it?
There's a bar in Oxford, Mississippi. I'll never forget this.
It's disgusting.
I don't know if it's actually still open, but it was back when I was in college, and which I did not go to school in Oxford, Mississippi, but I did for like a summer.
Praise God.
And no comment. And in this particular bar, underground, you had to walk through the dart area. in order to get to like the rest of the bar.
Oh, that's like those Mario games where you, those levels on Mario where you have to like walk through, you know, they shoot those big bullets at you with the frowny faces on them and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah.
But you have drunk people throwing projectiles, like metal tipped projectiles.
Yeah, that's awful.
Terrible.
Okay. So your answer is
pool. Absolutely pool. Live music or jukebox?
Live music.
Depends on the, I mean, so I like to go
nine and a half times out of 10 live music.
Yeah. I, when I'm going to the bar, I like to like go and like talk, you know what I mean?
No.
Like, so from that standpoint, jukebox is more like playing in the background, doesn't get in the way. Whereas who's ever playing live, generally, not always, there are some exceptions. Three Muses. I don't know if y'all went there or not when y'all were in New Orleans, but that's one of those places.
We did. Yeah, sure did.
Isn't that place awesome? Mm-hmm. All right. So that place is kind of like, I can dig with the live music. But most of the time, I prefer like jukebox, so you can kind of talk with, you know, while you're drinking and such. Bar or table?
Table.
Got to sit down?
Table, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I want to be looking the people I'm hanging out with in the eye. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with you on that one. Beer or liquor?
Liquor by hair. If I'm out at the bar, there's something nice about being able to drink like multiple low alcohol content beer kind of things, you know, so that I get that. Yeah. I tend to gravitate more towards, you know, whiskey, gin, you know, wine, something like that. But liquor by hair.
Generally beer because draft, and you typically can't, you know, get draft at home, obviously. But I don't like bottled beer at the bar. Because I can get that.
No, that's right. And also, it depends on if it's a pub or something that allows me to smoke my pipe. If I can smoke my pipe there, then it's liquor all the way.
All the way.
Like, yeah. But on average, you know, liquor by hair.
All right. Then finally, classy or dive?
Dive.
I don't feel like there's enough, like, classy bars to actually compete with that. You know what I mean? Like, Three Muses that you went
Not
to.
Not here.
Yeah. Three Muses is one of those, like, classy joints. You know what I mean? That, like, just doesn't exist that much that often. Whereas most of the places you're going to find are just kind of dive bars. I like classy.
Okay.
I like classy.
No, that's good. That's good.
I'm a classic man.
You're snob.
Well, I tell you what, man, for the snobs or those that are just wanting to, you know, try whatever else is out there.
Yeah, maybe want to see what the snobs are talking about.
That's what I'm saying, man. Yeah. There's a great service, specifically in the tobacco scene. I'm talking, of course, about our good friends at the Tin Society.
I love this.
Man, the Tin Society, an awesome online solution for those of you who are wanting to try a lot of these different tobaccos. And it's always great because obviously, you know, tobacco is a constant topic here on Country Squire Radio. And so you, whether we're doing a tobacco talk, a Squire Select, we're doing a focus on a particular company, you've heard over the course of the show several different tobaccos that you may yourself not know what they taste like. And the Tin Society offers up a way to discover new tobaccos on a monthly basis. You subscribe, you get a box filled with a lot of different samples of a lot of different tobaccos. You taste them and you kind of figure out, hey, this is actually something I'd like to buy.
Or, I know, right?
Hey, this really isn't my cup of tea. One way or the other, it's a great solution for really expanding your palate.
Gosh, it's so such a great idea. Of course, the modern box concept comes to the pipe world, and we love it. Clark, actually with the Tin Society, came to the Country Squire here not too long ago.
What?
And it was one of those weekends that I was actually out of town and couldn't be here, but he made the trek from Montgomery, Alabama. These are normal guys. This is not some big company that's doing this. They're just like us, but they have had the vision to put together a subscription service that, you know, it, not just, you know, for the idea of, you know, supporting their livelihood, but also to promote the hobby that they love. And that's what they do. The Tin Society is just a great organization. And so, man, support them. You can go to tinsociety.com. When you sign up, you'll get the opportunity to get, again, several tobaccos each month to try. See which ones you like, which ones you don't like, expand your palate, maybe try some that you wouldn't think you would enjoy and wind up falling in love with. It's that whole concept of broadening your palate and your horizons as far as pipe tobacco goes. So go to tinsociety.com.
And also, if you use the code SQUIRE, when you
SQUIRE,
you get 20% off on your first month service.
That's right.
So again, that's SQUIRE for 20% off on your first month service at tinsociety.com.
That's right.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right, man. So we got some great listener feedback this week. We've got a ton. I tell you what, why don't we
just have
it
so
off
many? Yeah.
With Chris, who, speaking of people who made their trip while you were out of town.
Right. No, that's exactly right.
What did Chris have to say?
Chris swung by the shop when I was up in New Jersey. He said, man, Chris, from the Lone Star Pipe Club, good friend and has been with us for a long time and quite a leader in the pipe smoking community. He says, "Hey guys, sorry I missed you when I was in Jackson, but it was great hanging out in the new Squire. I like the space and I love how you've made it still feel like the shop. I left you some presents. First, the Meander Wooded Gin from Acre Distilling in Fort Worth. This gin won a silver medal at the Los Angeles International Spirits Competition, and unusually for a gin, is made with 100% corn. That's crazy. And we have not opened this yet, and so I can't wait to try it, but it's made of 100% corn."
Why didn't we do this for the Squire Select?
Well, we just got here.
And we never tried it before.
Yeah, we haven't. You can see that it's still sealed. It may not be by the end of the night. I personally love it in a dirty martini. He says the wooded nature of the gin really shines, but it's also good on the rocks or with soda. To that end, and because you both decided your love for fizzy water, you both declared your love for fizzy water recently on air, I brought you Texas's favorite mineral water, Topo Chico.
Oh!
Personally, I can't get enough of the regular Topo, but I also brought you some lime and some of the rare, even here, grapefruit flavor. These drinks have zero sweetness to them and just a hint of citrus to give them flavor and are great with pretty much anything, including the Meander Wooded Gin. While I miss getting to see you both, I did have the pleasure of spending a couple hours getting to know your, and now my friend, the Hurricane. Oh my gosh.
See, this is what happens when we're not here.
Oh my God.
That's how people interact with the Country Squire.
Oh my gosh. So you, wow. Okay, so you're my now friend, the Hurricane. It's great to finally put a face to that name. He fed me Old Charter 8, and we talked about life. I understand now the Hurricane indeed. God bless, fellas.
Wait, I'm kind of curious. Did Chris, out that we call him the Hurricane? Does he know that we call him the Hurricane?
No, he figured it out. He knows we call him the Hurricane.
Okay,
The Hurricane knows we call him the Hurricane. to protect the little bit of dignity that he has, we don't mention his name on air. We refer to him as the Hurricane.
Right,
but if you've come by the shop at a certain time on a specific unlucky date, you've met the Hurricane, and he has left an impression on you. We would give you his real nickname, but we can't even do that on air.
No, we shouldn't.
And so we just refer to him as the Hurricane. And Chris, I bless your heart, as the Southerner says. I'm glad you're still friends with us.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know,
that's fantastic. That's good. That's good. He finishes up to say, "Chris Dumulin from the Lone Star Pipe Club, keep up the good work. Your friend in Fort Worth." So, dude, we're so glad you came by, dude.
That's amazing.
Yeah, really good.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going
to leave. Everyone needs to experience it at least once, you know? That's great. Yeah. No, that's good.
All right. So, and man, Chris, I'm sorry too that I missed you while you were here. We'd messaged back and forth and he came in town while I was like stuck in the studio, like I think over a weekend, and I couldn't get out. And then finally, by the time I got out, he was already leaving.
Yep.
Hopefully we'll be able to catch you next time, brother.
Yep. Texas Pipe Show. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you, brother.
That's right. That's absolutely right. All right. So Dwayne Dunn also wrote in. You want to get Dwayne's?
He says, "Hi, I love the show and would one day love to do a pilgrimage, but sadly, I'm in South Africa, which makes for a real long journey. Hopefully, my boss needs to send me to the U.S. for some reason. A while back, I saw a strange YouTube video on photo editing that I didn't really pay attention to until I heard one episode where you were talking about Gandalf smoke rings. I immediately remembered that video, and the result is attached. Not quite a ship. I apologize for describing your logos, but I thought they worked really well like this."
All right. So have you seen these images?
I have not.
Okay. No. So he photoshopped our imagine like if smoke was forming into us.
Ooh.
All right. So here's the first, and I'll post these up. on Facebook and Twitter.
Dude.
So there's the John David.
Is Dwayne... I'm assuming he's a graphic artist. I mean, this is wow.
I think the idea is he's dabbling, and so he decided to dabble with us.
That's you should pick some better subject matter.
But so this is great. So it's you, your face coming out of the smoke cloud
coming out of the logo of the Country Squire.
And for me, it's right. The Country Squire radio pipe. And he picked the weirdest face of me. Like, I'm doing some sort of, like winky, like, intense, crazy eye look.
I think that's the constipated look.
It might be. It might be. I'm not sure how he captured it. But, yeah, this is brilliant.
That's fantastic.
We're gonna have to.
That's great. We'll post those up. We'll post those up. Yeah,
these will definitely be on Facebook and Twitter and all that good stuff.
He says, if you'd like the smoke portions separate, just give me a shout. I kept them as such. I hope you like the result. I'm no graphic designer, so it's not exceptional. But happy smokes, Dwayne. I think they're exceptional, dude. I love them. I think they're awesome. So, hey, matter of fact, I kind of want to make a T-shirt, maybe. Maybe it's got a future in it. I don't know.
Don't get me wrong. If
constipated Bo coming out of the Country Squire pipe mic.
I'm not opposed to my face being on a T-shirt. I'm just not sure I want that particular face.
Not that particular one.
Yeah, understand. Okay. It's not the graphic designing, which is amazing. Good.
Dwayne, it's a fantastic design. Amazing. You did a good job.
Absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for sending that in, Dwayne. We got a kick out of those. And we'll definitely be posting that up to Facebook and Twitter and all those great social medias.
Yep.
So you can check them out there. You know, social media has been hot tonight. People have been tuning in for the live show. It's been amazing. A minute, so everybody's excited to.
It's amazing.
To be back.
I do quickly. I know we're running over on time, and so we need to go on. But I do need to mention. So many people have wished the Country Squire a happy 48th birthday,
man.
And you know, we were hoping to do a grand opening for our new shop. By the time of our 48th birthday, we didn't get there. But August 11th is the 48th birthday of the Squire. You know, our institution. You know, we're so blessed and happy to be a part of, and frankly, just feel like we're kind of the flame keepers until the next person comes along. Mm-hmm. Which I hope is a long time from now, because I really enjoy what we do. but anyway, thank you so much for the well wishes, and we're very grateful. Yeah,
man, 48. She doesn't seem a day over a couple weeks.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except these old furniture that's got all these whiskey stains on it. Yeah.
Not tonight.
And
not
like,
tonight.
Well, the night's not over
whoever,
yet.
Somebody won big tonight, because I did not spill. All right, man. Well, hey, this has been always a blast to do the Squire Select.
That's right.
Of course, we want to encourage you all to keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow us on the Twitters. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And of course, Country Squire Radio's handle is @SquireRadio. And of course, you can tune in on Monday nights, because we are back, baby. CountrySquireRadio.com is the place to tune in on Monday nights at 8:30 p.m. Central. That's 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern. And of course, whenever we get the interaction with those of you on Twitter, it's always a blast. It makes it just a really, really fun experience. And I got to tell you, I felt very torn over these last couple of weeks, because on the one hand, it was nice to be with my wife and kids on Monday night, not going to lie. But at the same time, man, like, this has been like, I miss the listeners, miss you, miss kind of like the hangout.
It's certainly a part of our rhythm.
Absolutely.
You know? And I think our life rhythm, you know, and I think what's been most honoring about it is that so many of you have written in and tweeted in or commented that it's part of your life rhythm too. And frankly, we're just honored by that. And gosh, I love the pipe community. We're glad to be here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, hey, Squire Select in the new shop.
Yeah.
Best way to kick off the new shop.
I think so. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, man. Well, I'm going to have a few drinks and
have a few. You've already had a few.
I've had a few drinks. That's from Dave Matthews, The Storytellers, MTV. Nobody. That's a deep cut. All right, man. It's gonna be.
I think we should go have a night.
We should probably go have.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.